You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
So welcome to the Michigan Politics, podcast. That's the name of my podcast. I'm being looked at with confusion and slight amusement. I'm very happy today to be joined by two guests. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League. And I'm here joined by, I'm going to let them say their names because I'm terrible at slaughtering names. But we are at our convention here at in Detroit, our 2019 Michigan Municipal League Convention. And we're speaking right now with two of the convention breakout session speakers. And we'll let you start. Melissa is with the MML. I'll let her start first. Melissa, state your first and last name, what you do for the league, and then introduce our guests today, too.
My name is Melissa Milton Pung. I'm a program manager in Policy Research Labs. What we do is we advise our cities on how are you attracting and retaining investment in your traditional downtowns through a variety of different placemaking programs and other shot-in-the-arm type of projects. My valued colleague is Angela Barbash of Revalue Investing. She's joining us from Ypsilanti.
She just blew her a kiss, which is great for the podcast. All of our listeners can see that.
We go way back.
Well, welcome, Angela. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about what Revalue is and kind of why you're here today at the convention.
Sure. We are a registered investment advisory firm.
Okay.
It's by RIA in the marketplace.
Oh, that sounds fancy.
Yeah, it just means that we are fee-only fiduciary investment advisors. So we have no conflicts of interest, we don't get paid commissions, no ties to anyone else. We get hired by investors to give them advice, financial planning and investment advice. And we created ourselves in 2013 because we couldn't find a firm that we could go work for that would let us talk about investing locally.
Wow.
And so we needed to create that solution in the marketplace for ourselves and our clients.
Oh, that's great. So you guys are both participating in a breakout today here at the convention. I'm not sure when this will air, so well, let's pretend it's already happened. So what are some of the things you have talked about, I guess, or will be talking about? Let's stay in the present tense. What's kind of the purpose of today's session? Tell me the name of the session and what you're hoping to get through to our members.
Yeah, so we are really excited to be leading the session this afternoon called Navigating the Landscaping, the Crowdfunding Scene. Navigating the crowdfunding.
Emerging is a word I'm looking at.
Gosh,
Navigating the emerging crowdfunding scene. I'll help you out.
There you go. It's a mouthful.
It is. Who came up with that?
It's almost impossible to talk about this without appending a whole paragraph of descriptions.
Yeah.
It's
it
complicated,
is.
But also very simple when you really get down to the core principles of trying to keep your dollars local. Whether it be donation-based or investment-based, what you're saying is that I believe in a project that's happening in my community, and I want to help make it happen.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and this really is the next evolution of the buy local, eat local, farm local movement. People are already familiar with other things that they're doing with their money and keeping it in the local economy. This is the next logical step.
Okay, cool. So you talked about, it's kind of confusing, but at the same time, it's pretty simple. So what are the most frequent questions people have about it? And then how are you able to kind of figure it out?
I can take this one. So we have been leading investor education workshops all over Michigan over the last year, a few years really. About 500 people have gone through these workshops, and we ask them to submit questions on index cards.
Okay.
And so we've seen what is the breadth and depth of questions that get asked. And I would say almost half of all questions have to do with risk.
Oh.
How much risk is involved? What kinds of risks should I be thinking about? Both from an investor perspective and from an entrepreneur perspective. As an entrepreneur, a business owner, there's a risk that you're not able to communicate with all these investors, that you can't handle investor relations. You don't have an investor relations department when you own a cafe. But then on the investor side, you've got liquidity risk, management risk, economic, systemic risk that could affect your downtown or the businesses in your community. So that's a big part of the conversation, is really just uncovering all those risks and helping people understand them.
That, and also You know, in our previous podcast, we talked about the publication Community Investment, Community Growth, a Retrospective of Michigan Crowdfunding, which is available at crowdfundingmi.org.
Yep, you guys are both heavily involved in the creation of that.
Crowdfundingmi.com.
Crowdfundingmi.com.
We've established the baseline of people pretty much understanding what crowdfunding is. They may have seen a patronicity campaign in their community. Maybe they're aware of something that got off the ground from Local Stake or Kickstarter or what have you. But going into the next level of what if you were to invest your own dollars and educating people on what are the different platforms and landscapes. That's the now what part. How are you navigating risk analysis and evaluating whether or not you would feel comfortable making that investment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, for a lot of people, they may be excited about investing locally. It is exciting to think about having a little stake in that coffee shop or tech company in your town, but it really fits within the context of your full financial plan. And I think that as an investment advisor, I feel compelled really from my heart, not just professionally, to encourage people to think about it from that level of responsibility, not as this kind of side thing that they do that has nothing to do with the rest of their financial plan. And that really is what can bring the investors or potential investors together with their financial advisors to talk about what is an appropriate amount. Is debt or equity more appropriate for them? How long can they or should they be willing to lock up the money? There's a lot of questions that need to be put out on the table that really are best handled with the key advisors in your life already.
Right. How is it, we touched on a little bit, but how is this different than what the crowdfunding people, most people know? Like, you know, people think of, you know, they see it on Facebook for the birthday page, you know, that they, hey, I'm raising money for this. How is that? How is this different than that?
I think for the majority of us, with the exception of a few tip-of-the-spear type of people who are really on the crest of this trend, I think that most of us have interacted with some form of crowdfunding campaign through a donation-based platform.
Yes.
You've decided that you want to help a project happen, and you're willing to make that donation, and you really have very little expectation about getting any return on the investment, except for maybe going to enjoy the space there someday.
Or maybe a tax write-off or something like that.
Exactly. In this instance, we're looking at shifting a percentage of local investment to this local economy, as opposed to putting it into your retirement fund, as opposed to putting it into an IRA that you may have.
Okay.
And what Angela can talk about is how do you figure out how much and how?
Yes.
Yeah, and not only how much and how, but most people don't know that you can actually use IRA dollars.
What do you mean? I'm not super wealthy? And
yes.
I don't have like tons of money to invest?
You can use IRA dollars.
This is a conversation that's happening in our personal lives too, because I'm trying to figure out what am I investing in with Angela.
Right. Sure, yeah. Right.
And so an investor can set up a self-directed IRA at a self-directed IRA custodian. There's a couple dozen of them in the country, and they can use IRA dollars. Now, there are restrictions. You can't invest in a property that you're going to then put your business in or put your kids in.
That'd be some separation there.
Yeah, there's some separation so that you're not doing what's called self-dealing.
Sure.
So the IRS doesn't want you to be taking advantage of the tax system for your own gain to that extent. But if you work within the framework of what's allowed and you work with your CPA and make sure that you know where all the boundaries are, you absolutely can use IRA dollars to invest locally. So how much, what kind is appropriate, what type of deal is appropriate, and then what pot of money can we take it from? What is the most responsible or appropriate pot of money? Those are all questions to suss out with your advisors.
And go ahead.
I was going to ask, what are some of the kinds of projects that could be investing?
Yeah, I was going to ask also that. Also, what are some success stories out there that maybe we could talk about?
Yeah. And back to the question, too, about what's the difference between Kickstarter and what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is an investment. It's hopefully you're getting a return of your principal, which is the amount you put in, and you're getting a return on that investment. And in Kickstarter, you're getting a T-shirt and maybe a sticker and you feel good. It's a very different thing. So some examples of projects, we've seen a cooperative real estate, mixed use development. We've seen lots of breweries, as you can imagine, breweries, distilleries, hops farms.
I think the one in our program is the Tecumseh Brewery, is that
There's Tecumseh Brewing, and then also also in the session today, we're talking about Earthen Ales in Traverse City.
Is it Detroit Football Club is part of that,
Detroit
too,
City Football Club. Detroit City Football Club. I did almost $750,000 raise.
Wow.
That's one of the largest in Michigan so far.
Yeah, and I know Dan talked about it the last podcast, that he donated to that. He gets a little check or something.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
He invested in
he
that.
He invested.
Right. and so we've seen markets. We've seen companies like a little auto shop that does auto repair in the city. So this can be applicable to the what might be traditionally referred to as, if you could see my air quotes, a lifestyle business.
Yeah, we can see those. lifestyle business.
So
what does that mean?
A lifestyle business is one that is not being set up for high growth and an eventual acquisition. It's one that feeds the lifestyles of the people that run and work for the business. But a lifestyle business could be employing 20 people in your community and just be operating for the benefit of all those people and all their customers.
Right.
So investment crowdfunding can be very helpful to those types of businesses, very helpful to the food and beverage industry, the farmers, all the food purveyors and creators, all the way up to the higher growth companies, the real estate developments. It's real deep how applicable it is.
Interesting.
Yeah, for me, conceptualizing it, I have in the past had a farm share. And it's you pay money up front at the beginning of the season, and you get vegetables and fruit and other produce. It isn't too far beyond that to think about making an investment in the farmer's operations and eventually hoping to have a return on that investment later on.
Right. So, or even buying a piece of the equipment that the farmer needs to use and leasing to own it back to the farmer.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can support businesses in your community, and the discovery process is figuring out what's right for you.
Right. Now, this podcast is kind of about politics, and this actually was started from legislation, right, a few years ago. Can you give a little bit of history on that and the league's involvement with that? I'm pretty sure we were pretty much a strong supporter of, you know, getting that legislation passed.
Our state and federal affairs team were out there advocating for it.
Yeah.
The conversation started in about 2013. And I know that several of our friends at MEDC were also interested, but of course they can't advocate in that way.
Right.
So we helped conceptualize how that legislation needed to exist, where the gaps were in current regulation that would eventually allow everyday people, people who had assets in less than $1 million outside of their primary residence to be able to make direct investment.
Okay.
That's everyday people.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about
you,
but I don't have $1 million hanging out.
No, not anymore.
Nope.
or
so
ever.
We were able to pass MILE legislation, Michigan Investing Local Economy Act in 2014, and it allowed not only donation-based, but investment-based crowdfunding.
Okay.
And we actually are one of the best, or the best in the nation right now. We've received national recognition. The project to get that legislation put into place was actually finalist at the John F. Kennedy Harvard School of Policy Awards a couple of years ago, and we're very proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just this June, Angela and I presented at the National Community Capital Coalition National Conference, and they were talking about how great Michigan is.
That's awesome.
That is balm to the wounded soul after all we've been through.
Yeah, we get kind of caught up in it. Right? Yeah. We get kind of caught up in it. We don't realize all the things that we're doing that are kind of really out front of a lot of others.
We're amazing.
It's hard to say, but we are.
Let's all just pat each other on the back now.
So, of course, you're here.
It was hard to accept.
So you're here, obviously, you know, talking to our members, which are cities and mayors and city council members. What's the city's role in all this? What's their
goal?
How can they be involved?
That's a really great question, and it's a really hot topic right now. Because we've been doing this investor education all over the state, we've inevitably ended up with entrepreneurs and city officials, economic developers in our sessions, and they're wanting to know, well, how do we rally around this topic for our local economy moving forward? And the interesting thing is that while we're seeing that market demand from the cities to have technical assistance solutions and even just facilitation solutions for organizing the conversation in their town, there really isn't a market solution for them right now.
Okay.
So that's something that we're exploring at Revalue. Does it make sense for us to open up a consultancy arm and be able to serve these cities? Does it make better sense for another organization that has those relationships and the technical technical expertise like MML or MEDC to be doing that instead. We are very cognizant of what our sweet spots and our skills are. And we're kind of this weird unicorn in that we are investment advisors with this knowledge about investing locally.
I see.
We want more of our peers to have this knowledge, but for right now, we have this knowledge. But the cities and several cities and Revalue are exploring this right now, trying to figure out what is going to be the way for them to rally around this in the future in a more systemic way instead of just an event here or there or one or two people in the town being
sure.
knowledgeable.
That kind of leads to my next question, which is kind of what's next for this? Is it seems like we're really kind of at the beginning of it. I mean, although the legislation was passed, 5-6 years ago, it seems like it's still kind of catching fire, if that's the right word. What's kind of next with the movement, do you think?
Yeah, I can tell you of a couple of things I see next.
That's why Angela's here.
Right? One is that there is a large strategic convening happening in December with stakeholders across Michigan who are engaged in this movement, including Melissa and myself, to really map out who is doing what, where are the market gaps that we've all noticed, and who's interested in filling those market gaps, or who do we need to recruit to the table.
What are some of the market gaps?
Well, one is a solution for cities.
Okay.
And communities that's more strategic in nature. The second is that entrepreneurs themselves don't have a real coordinated approach or programming. There's no accelerators that are applicable across the ecosystem. We do not have a state-based investment platform. Hmm. We have platforms from outside of the state that are operating in Michigan, but then there's a business development gap for them.
I see.
If they don't have enough volume, they can't afford to pay for a business developer to be in Michigan to cover the territory. So that's a gap. There is pending legislation right now on community-funded solar and microgrids.
Mm.
That is the next frontier.
Is that not allowed right now, kind of?
It's not, essentially, with the makeup of our utility network and market in Michigan. It's very difficult for communities to come together and create microgrids. So there's the legislation in the House that people are supporting. That is the kind of how do you take this community capital or investment crowdfunding lens and apply it toward a particular sector, a particular type of initiative. So we'll see that. We do not have a local stock exchange, but we have the legislation in place and the framework available for a stock exchange to exist again. And most people don't know that we had the Detroit Stock Exchange for decades.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it was gobbled up in the 70s, and we have not had an exchange anymore since then. So I think I can see that being on the horizon. And I think more storytelling. I think more storytelling is something that we all recognize as a need.
Telling the success of it.
And the failures.
Oh, okay.
And the lessons learned.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just as important as the successes.
Sure.
Just like any investment, there is risk.
Yes, exactly.
right.
I think that Angela has so many different concrete programmatic or systemic ideas that could be implemented as the next phase. And so the conversation that we're having today in this session is helping people conceptualize this is what it is, this is what you may be aware of, this is how we move to the next level. And part of that next level is increasing people's comfort level with understanding what it is, and then also its legitimacy.
Okay.
Because what we're doing is not creating a new way to do investment.
Yeah.
We're returning to something that has been done in the past.
Okay.
And that wasn't broken. It was just, like you said, gobbled up with the more regionalization or nationalization of economies. So when you want to try to bring those dollars back local, clearly these solutions still could work.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck in your session this afternoon.
Thanks.
Again, thank you to, I'm going to try to say it, Angela Barbash.
Very good.
Of Revalue, Melissa Milton Pung.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
You did.
How about that? So thank you for joining us here on Michigan Politics.
Thanks, Matt. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.